It doesn't have to be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. You might actually find what you love by doing that. And it's okay if you try something and it doesn't work. If you try to do your own business and it doesn't work and you go back, that maybe it wasn't for you. At least you tried and you're being true to yourself and listening.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I have a special guest on my show today, Alexandra Orphanides, who owns an independent holistic risk advisory firm called Accentuate. And she's passionate about business owners and helping entrepreneurs with their specific challenges to help them focus first on their biggest risks, which are themselves and their people. And Alexandra is someone that not only has left a corporate executive role in finance and risk management, but she did that while she was a single mom to two children. And I'm very excited to have her on the show to hear about her story and to explore how women in all sorts of walks and all journeys in life can do the same if that is something that you are considering, which is starting your own business. Alexandra, it's so great to have you on here.
Thank you. Thanks, Phoebe, for having me. It's an honor.
It's great to hear your story. I'm very excited to dive in and to find out more about how you started Accentuate and how you help business owners with focusing on areas that they need to focus on to reduce risk and demystify risk. And I'm looking forward to obviously diving into a bit more about your new set of skills, especially with juggling mum life and business life. But before we dive in, I wanted to find out, during a time when you obviously had to juggle a lot with being a mum and juggling work and kiddies, how did you manage to leave your corporate job and what inspired you to start Accentuate?
Yeah, sure. So what inspired me to leave? I guess I'd probably never really thought about what I wanted to do that much when I was younger. You know, I kind of thought a business job sounded good and ended up getting a graduate job. You know, I worked really hard and I kind of landed in banking and finance and obviously enjoyed a lot about it and found I was good at it. But I think as my kids got older, it was very tricky to manage and navigate. And I guess a few things kind of happened that inspired me to think about what else was I did a few courses and I was involved in some mentoring externally outside my job, where I was mentoring and coaching people to find work or, you know, more work. And that just really, I felt so connected and felt like I was giving so much value and kind of realized I wasn't getting enough of the one-to-one and really feeling like I was making a difference, even though I knew I was. So I really, partly it was that, and then partly it was COVID. I think COVID was what pushed me over the edge. I was very, very busy. It was the busiest I'd ever been. Like, I'm a single mom, so I was managing work, really crazy hours, as well as the kids. And I think I really enjoyed, despite the craziness, having more time with them. And I think I realized that I felt like I was missing out. And could I do it a different way than I was? And also there was a mental health element that I'd just really burnt out and had run myself into the ground. So I needed a bit of time. And when I stopped, I kind of thought, what do I really want to do? I want to bring all the skills and knowledge that I've learned over all of my career and, yeah, deal directly with businesses and get closer back to the customer and try and help people more than I was, like, and in a different way.
So. Yeah, fantastic. Obviously, there were a lot of different things or drivers that got you to quit your job and start your business. Since starting this new business, after having worked 18 years in a corporate, as a corporate executive in finance and risk management, what were some of the differences that you noticed in terms of life as a business owner compared to working in a corporate executive role?
It's so different. I definitely found that the corporate life was so fast paced, and you can be in your own business, but I think you've got that autonomy and that ability to drive it. I think the ability to focus on what you really want rather than obviously operating from a place of meeting your objectives in your role. And so the ability to actually, the passion of doing what you really feel that you love is amazing. That's absolutely, I love that part. And building something yourself that's yours. I think the challenge is obviously that you have to be very regimented and organized in a different way. You have to forward plan in different ways. You have to learn lots of different skills. Whereas the corporate life can be more reactive. I think it takes more focus on what do you want, how are you going to get there? The planning and the risk management side, I think, is really important, and it's quite different from being in a corporate.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about the holistic risk advisory services that you offer. How can you help a business that's looking to scale or a business that might already be scaling to demystify their risks?
So I guess the reason I spent a lot of my career in many roles, but risk management was kind of an area I spent a long time in, and I got to see the customers that were doing well and the customers that were doing not so well. So I experienced through COVID the companies that weren't, the industries that weren't doing great. And I think I had so much knowledge dealing with various industry bodies in the banking association and government. And I felt that potentially businesses didn't even know why the challenges that they were having or continue to have, what they can do to actually stop those things occurring and how to better set themselves up. So I really felt there was a real gap in the market, and there always has been, around the kind of medium-sized businesses not really understanding risk and just thinking it's complex and scary, and they'd rather focus on sales and kind of just pushing it aside, not realizing how important it is to their success.
Yeah, definitely. And what are some of the pitfalls that businesses can fall into when they don't look at the risks and when they don't evaluate the risks? What can happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the biggest risks that banks and things kind of look at is obviously the management. So that's really how, why I've kind of got that people focus is, who have you got in the leadership team? How clear is your strategy? Have you got a succession plan? Things like that. So managing yourself is really, really critical, because that's actually something that all of, if you ever want funding or you want to grow the bank, it's really comes down to management, as we probably know. But definitely things at the moment, it's lots of things in the environment around cyber and data. So making sure you're managing that. And the risks are that you obviously, you could have money stolen, you can have reputational issues, because we've all seen them in the media, how bad it looks when your data's stolen. Customers are going to leave. And then there's a lot of other impacts around, cyber. I think the stats are it can be between 50 and 100,000, the cost, average cost, if you get hit by cyber. So it's, for a small business, that's quite a lot. And then anywhere up to risks around not complying with regulations, changing regulations, you can get fined by the regulators for that. And that could have huge, hundreds of thousand kinds of costs there, intangible dollars. But I think that probably there's some risks that are really unknown. So the risks of not having structure and governance and processes. So if you don't have that as you grow, it's really inefficient. So it's hard to measure the amount you're losing, but you're actually constantly losing money because you can't service your customers quick enough. You can't grow as quickly as you could if you actually had things set up properly.
That's really, really interesting. And I know that you also provide coaching and mentorship for your customers as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, why would a business owner need that when they could potentially just get someone to just come in, consult, tell them what's good and what's bad? And then, like, what are the benefits of getting that mentorship or that coaching component as an add-on or as a part of the package?
Yeah, absolutely. We probably all know that we can have great ideas And sometimes the reason we don't do them is just purely because of ourselves and something going on with us, right? Whether there's beliefs internally or values or something else happening that is stopping you getting to where you want to get. Other consultants, you can get a Big Four and a big consultant to come in and give you a report about what you should do. What I actually have seen so many times in the corporate space as well is you can implement an amazing strategy that could work. If people don't understand it, if people aren't committed, and if the leadership is not actually moving through the process to make sure it's embedded well, it's a complete waste of money. So I just really saw there was a need, and I know I've really learned and grown so much personally through my own kind of journey through coaching and realizing what am I doing that's getting in my own way. So I think that's something that's really put aside and seemed to be not as necessary, but I really think it's like the critical factor to implementing change and growing sustainably.
Wow. And is that something that you offer for your clients and leadership coaching and team coaching, or is that something that an external consultant would come in and do?
Yeah, no, I do that. So I'm an accredited coach. So I went and did training on that. I do that. That's really part of. So I really want to be a partner, a trusted partner for businesses that aren't big enough to have their own risk kind of advisory side or even potentially development and training. A lot of smaller businesses don't have the capacity to do that. So I see myself as really working with them along their journey, not just coming in transactional. I want to help them actually learn the knowledge and the tools and get the skills because it is absolutely able to be learned across the teams and the leaders. I come in and can do that as well as part of the packages.
Yeah, fantastic. So, what are some of the things that block business owners and hold them back from being able to scale? I know a lot of the time it's obviously mindset, and usually you'll see that a business, some will scale and continuously grow and they create really successful empires, but there are some that just, there's ultimately something that holds us back, right? There's something that will stop a business owner from being able to continue to grow, whether it's their mindset, whether it's something internally that's going on for them. It could be confidence, it could be distractions. But what do you see is the biggest blocker that holds people back from scaling?
I definitely think it's comes down to being really clear and having a really vivid, compelling vision of what you want and where you're
So
going.
true.
I think it really needs to be surprisingly detailed. Like you need to be able to visualize what your life would look like, what that looks like for you, for others. So I think that often is the starting step that people miss. They have a good idea and I think the other bit is having a routine to check in with how you're feeling and what's coming up for you and really being curious and being flexible and brave to be able to actually go, all right, so why am I not having a mechanism to know that you're not getting somewhere you want to get to, or you're not thinking about the future? And then kind of having the curiosity and the bravery to actually question and be really honest and vulnerable with yourself around why that is and what are you telling yourself? Are you doing what you really want to do? A lot of people, they're doing it because they think they should or they have to. And that's probably getting in the way. They're just going to stagnate.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I think that it's definitely the case when you don't have a vision and you're not clear on what that vision is, it's so easy to lose sight of the path. And that's a big problem for a lot of business owners.
I mean, the other thing I would add is I think that people get caught in the busyness and they don't make the time to stop and reflect. And sometimes they don't know where to start, which I think is kind of what drives me as well, is they're too scared to start or they don't know where. And it's just they're busy and they don't have time to think about it. So they just ignore it.
So, Alexandra, I wanted to find out, obviously, being a single mom is so challenging. I cannot imagine what you would have gone through, especially when you're also juggling work at the same time. You're being the breadwinner and you then moved away from your corporate job to start your own business. Like, what were some of the challenges that you went through and how did you overcome that?
So many challenges. I think The first and the biggest one is managing your own thoughts and your self-doubt. I definitely continue to have self-doubt regularly, but I think having everything unstable in terms of not knowing where the next customer or how many I'll get and whether I'm going to be able to pay the mortgage and how am I going to manage to fit in the kids and balance everything is a huge stress. But I think knowing why I'm doing it and what I want for my life and what kind of mom I want to be, what kind of person I want to be. Like, I have really tough days, and sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? Is this better? I question myself like everyone else. And I don't have a magical answer, and I might continue to change. I think it's just about being brave to sit with all of those yucky thoughts and go and keep talking yourself back into the reasons why you're doing it. But it absolutely continues to be so tough. And I'll be honest and say that I still consider going back. I may look at different ways. I think it's just about being true to yourself and like being really vulnerable and just forgiving yourself for the stuff you don't do very well and just trying again and getting back up every day.
Yeah, I love that you say getting back up every day because I do believe that when we show up on difficult days, it tells us and it sends a signal to our brains that we can do this. And the more we do, the more we are reaffirming to ourselves that it's possible and what's impossible becomes possible day by day. All you have to do is keep going and keep showing up. And to all the listeners out there, if you go through self-doubt, imposter syndrome, any of that, I had a numerous amount of self-doubt last year and even earlier this year, especially when I was in a narcissistic relationship where my partner was very, very controlling. And I didn't realize he was controlling because he masked it with a lot of love bombing and a lot of things that made it seem like he was very protective. But in retrospect, in hindsight, the mindset that I have now versus the mindset that I had when I was in that relationship is so different because there is such a new beginning type feeling. There's this freshness, there's this freedom, and there's this lightness. And I think sometimes it's easy to just doubt yourself than to ask, why is this going on? Like, why am I having these thoughts? Like, what is it about the people I am with or my environment? Or am I just not doing something that I love? Because, for example, over 10 years ago, I was in a career that I had left. I used to be a radiographer. So I was working in a field to really tick those boxes of a girl that had left a private school, doing the right thing, especially by everybody else, and not enjoying, not being passionate about what I was actually doing, and not really feeling like I was making a difference. So, what I had to discover was, I guess you could say ikigai is the right word. And I had to find my passion, my purpose, my strengths, and what lights me up. And for example, even these podcasts, they light me up each day, having these conversations, knowing that they are landing into the hands of listeners that need some inspiration for their day, lights me up more than if I was to have stayed in a field taking x-rays and CT scans of people. So I think it's very, very important that we evaluate our circumstances, our environment, the people we surround ourselves with, and the voices that we allow in our heads. Because if we allow negative voices, even our own, if we allow our own negative voices or anyone to seed little bits of doubt or to put us down, it's so unhealthy and it can cause easily a spiral. Whereas someone that uplifts and encourages, and people that are paving the way, that are showing us that what we dream of is possible for us, and of course, being around mentors and coaches is really important. But if we have all of that, it allows us to rise up, to thrive and shine.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't echo that more. And I think I just would end by saying perfectionism is a massive issue. And I know that's always been a thing for me. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. You might actually find what you love by doing that. And it's okay if you try something and it doesn't work. If you try to do your own business and it doesn't work and you go back, that maybe it wasn't for you. At least you tried and you're being true to yourself and listening finding out, because how are you going to know what you love and what makes you thrive, like you talk about, unless you're brave to try things and be okay no matter what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. Definitely. If anyone here struggles with perfectionism, and if you're listening, that a lot of perfectionists struggle with anxiety and self-worth. And it's an underlying type of, I guess, anxiety. And it's important to go within and to find where that comes from and when that started and what were the events, maybe even in our childhood, that caused us to feel like we had to be perfect to be loved or achieve or even people please. These patterns, a lot of the time, they come back to stuff that happened when we were very young, but way before these things even started to occur in our adult lives. So looking within is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so true. I think definitely getting in touch with yourself and being brave enough to just process the things that have happened and deal with the emotions. And it's so important to really get to know yourself. And I know I haven't got to know myself until and a few years ago, I feel like, yeah, got to spend the time to do it. And it's so worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, spending the time to get to know yourself and processing the emotions is definitely key. And it's something that we should probably do even daily. I know that for me, I on a daily basis, I'm checking in. I'm stopping now to really regulate my nervous system, to feel the emotions that come up and to let them out. And if we running around busy all day, every day, we don't get the chance to do that. And that can become a pattern of behavior as well that ends up blocking our progress and our growth in business, in fact.
Absolutely. Yeah. I meditate and I do emotional clearing. So I'm a practitioner in emotional clearing. And so I do that very regularly as well. Because you really, in whatever way works for the listeners, you've got to have your way to stop and get
Yeah.
rid of the noise and let the emotions cry, whatever the emotions are, like, and then process them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Thank you so much for that insight. That's been so interesting. For those that want to find out more, Alexandra has a risk scorecard, which is available on her website, and that will be in the show notes. And you can also book in a discovery call to speak with Alexandra as well if you want more support on any specific challenges that you have, whether it's in your business or whether you are looking at starting a business and wondering what are some of the risks and how can you eliminate those or reduce those before you leave your corporate cushion or your full-time job.
Yes, absolutely. Feel free to reach out, and it's always best to understand what the person's wanting to get out of it and be able to have a quick chat rather than them having to try and work out, because it can be overwhelming. So yeah, feel free to reach out.
Alexandra, before we wrap this up, I wanted to jump into some rapid fire questions to ask you the top five questions. All you have to do is tell us the answer at the top of your head, and there is no right or wrong.
Okay, scary. Go ahead.
All right, let's dive in. So, Alexandra, if there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's a physical object or a non-physical item, what would it be?
It would be my kids, but second, it would be a book.
Nice, lovely. And what or who inspires you to do what you do today?
Everyone, I think just everyone and their uniqueness.
Yeah. And where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
That's an interesting. I see myself continuing to help people in whatever way makes sense, continuing to grow. I don't have a specific place as long as it's kind of aligned with my journey. But I see myself being fulfilled, having time with my kids, loving my work. Yeah.
And what's one big takeaway that you've had recently that changed the way you show up or the way you see the world?
I think I continue to be amazed just by what you can learn from every individual person, and that everyone really has their own kind of magic and amazingness, and we're all very different. And it doesn't actually matter what you've done in your life or what you've, your education or your job. I think everybody has such knowledge to give and shouldn't be afraid to share it.
Absolutely. And Alexandra, if you could leave the world with one message, what would it be?
Be curious, keep learning.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been so good to have you on the show. And for the listeners, make sure that you reach out if you have any other questions for Alexandra and check out the show notes, check out her website, book a discovery call. And we look forward to seeing you continuously rising up to thrive and shine, both in business and in life. And thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast.
Thanks, Phoebe.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.